quite some time since we've looked at this book of Revelation and anything pertaining to it, but we'd like to read at least the first seven verses out of this chapter 2. I think that these are vitally important scriptures. Now, these seven churches that the Lord addresses here in this chapter 2 and chapter 3 are not the only churches that was in existence at the time. There were several other churches, and we may talk about that a little bit later. But let's read beginning at verse 1, Revelation chapter 2. And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat and of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen. I appreciate God's word. David said it right. He said, thy word is a light unto my pathway and a lamp unto my feet. And we must base our principles upon God's word. I think these are critical times, very critical times, when I am amazed at the number of people that do not put their confidence in the Bible. Really, the Bible is right. The Bible does not contradict itself, as some people may seem to think. People who say that tells me that they haven't studied much of the Scripture. The Bible is God's Word. And I want to say this morning, God's Word is infallible. It is never wrong. It might fly in the face of a lot of things that we believe, but the Bible's still right. Amen. I'm just going to take my time starting this morning. I look at these verses of Scripture, and God is writing to the church at Ephesus. I want to say today, when we read this first verse of this second chapter, we have to come to the realization that the rightful place of Christ is the head of the church and the ministry. Though I am the pastor of this church, I'm only the under-shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And he has his rightful place in the church. We ought to learn how to give him the preeminence. He deserves the, amen, highest place of respect and honor. Amen. In not only in this local assembly, but in your daily life, he should be the most important factor or person in your life. He should be more important than your children. He should be more important than your husband or your wife. You believe that's a man. He should be more important than your job. He should be more important in your life than any other individual. Give him his rightful place. I look at these verses and I'm amazed because this church at Ephesus has so many good things about it. I mean, wonderful things. Probably one of the better churches of the day. And when you read about the church, if you go back into Paul's writings as he reads to or writes to the church at Ephesus, probably some of the richest and best writings of Paul to me is found in that book of Ephesians. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. And in writing to the church at Ephesus, he commends them. He talks to them about doctrinal things and the growth of the Christian, the growth of the Christian life, and how that we ought to give the Lord the best place in our hearts. He said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. And when I read God's word concerning the book of Ephesians. Now, let me say something. There were other churches in existence beside these particular seven churches that he addresses here. But there are other churches. There was a church at Thessalonica. There was a church at Corinth. There was the church at Philippi. So these seven churches that he talks about here are not the only churches in existence. And to me, the reason he picked out these seven particular churches because that they had characteristics of the church world in general that would exist right up until the coming of the Lord. When I look at this verse in chapter 2 and understand that God himself, now this is not Paul talking, this is not John talking, though John does the writing, this is God talking to the church. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the church. Amen. Brother Silas, if you want to turn to Proverbs chapter 28, I want to do some reading there after a while. Not right now, but you can just hold it there. Amen. In a little while. But this is God talking to the church. This is not an individual man. Now, I want to tell you. Somebody said, well, that's just Paul's thoughts, or that's just the way Peter thought. The Bible said that holy men wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I hear people today that says that their opinion is just as important as the writers of the Bible. I want to tell you, you're heading for shipwreck and error. Amen. The Bible is right, and unless we direct our lives by the principles that's laid out in this book. Now, there are many principles laid out in the Bible that does not explicitly name sins. Hello. There are things mentioned in the Scripture that gives us principles to live by. We have a generation right now on our hands. I mean church-going people. I'm amazed. I really am. I'm amazed at the number of people right now in our society that because of lack of prayer. Y'all believe in praying? Everybody believe in praying, say amen. I mean praying outside of what little bit we do when we go to church. Praying saints. And because that there is a lack of prayer, there really isn't much personal convictions anymore. I lose some of you here. Amen. Without prayer, this generation is in no position to develop any convictions of what the Spirit of the Lord would like for you to do or not do, or how to live and conduct your daily life. Amen. And as a result, from the lack of prayer, and then as a lack of convictions, this present generation that we have bases their activities of what they do or what they don't do, or on what is or what is not directly sin. Amen. This lax generation mentality is, if you can't find a Bible verse that specifically prohibits an activity or something, amen, or a way of talking, then it must be okay to do. Help me here. Amen. They completely overlook principles of Scripture. Tobacco is not mentioned in the Bible. Hello. Television is not mentioned in the Bible. The internet is not mentioned in the Scripture. There are a lot of things that I could just think right off the top of my head here that specifically is not mentioned in Scripture. But there are principles that is laid out. Somebody come on here this morning. There are principles that's laid out. Let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let him that is filthy be filthy still. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And the scriptures go on and on. So there are principles that is directed. Now, amen, Paul comes along and said in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, let us therefore lay aside every weight and the sin. There are some things that you cannot consider as actual sin because the Bible does not base it as such. But they are indeed a hindrance to your spiritual progress. Come on here. They are, and if God deals with you in an area of your life and you don't make that complete surrender and dedication, you will go backwards instead of forwards. Amen. And before long, before you realize it, perhaps we have a generation that is really backslid in their hearts, but they're still religious people. Really are. They're still religious people. They live good. They dress good. They act good. They talk good. They have all the trappings of living a somewhat Christian life, but there's no real heartfelt personal experience with God. Amen. And so they fail to realize that our forefathers that preached to us a separated life from sin and the world, they fail to realize that our forefathers based their activities or lack of activities or their conduct and behavior on what would keep them with a powerhouse connection with God. They really was not interested in what you thought was right or wrong. They were only interested in pleasing God that had called them to be a good soldier. Amen. And the scripture said, if I build again the foundation of those things which I've destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. So I want to tell you, we have a difficult generation to reach in this day. And they are basing their lifestyle on directly what the Bible says is a sin or is not a sin. And as a result, we have carnal-minded Christians because there's no prayer life. There's no commitment. There's no dedication. There's no personal convictions that God has rung in their hearts to live by. And the reason there isn't, those convictions are not the problem. Come on here. And those wonderful do's and don'ts are not the problem. It's the lack of prayer that is the problem. And where there is no prayer and no commitment and no surrendered heart and life, I know people, come on, I know people this morning that that I could take them back to a certain point of time in their life. And they were close to God. They rejoiced. They praised God. They even shouted several times. They lived a life of holiness. And the glory and the power of God fell in their heart and their life. And they rejoiced at good preaching. Amen. But somehow or another, through the process of time, they got away from it. Amen. They still live good. They still act good. Amen. But the blessing and the glory and the presence and the power of God is not present in their life. Now, let me say something this morning. I've said this before. If all that we have to offer this generation is a lifestyle or a culture or a dress, amen, or an appearance, if that's all that we have to offer, amen, our society, our generation will die out after a while. And the next generation coming along says, I see no sense in living this way. Amen. Because, are y'all still with me? Because there's no power with it. There's no anointing with it. There's no glory with it. And as a result, they discard all the standards of holiness and convictions, amen, that God had wrought in the life of the previous generation of church-going holiness people, because they do not have that inward experience with God. Somebody say amen. Amen. So, therefore, the whole rationale of following the ancient landmarks is lost because they have no inward experience with God. They only live the way they are living because that's the way the church believes. That's the way the preacher preaches. That's the way, amen. And now, if that's all that we've got to offer this generation, the next generation is totally going to lose it. Amen. We've got to have more than just appearance. We've got to have more than just an outward standard. There's got to be an inward relationship with God that is developed in prayer. Amen. I am amazed. Help me here. I'm amazed the people that go to the holiness churches, not just this one, others as well, amen, that do not pray. I mean, really pray. I mean, pray through until victory rolls in their heart and soul in life. I've seen people, and I said this to my wife this morning, I've seen people leave the altar of prayer, and before they get out of the parking lot, amen, they are flirting with somebody else's wife. Help me here. It's because, amen, because they just have a form of godliness. It is not a personal experience with them. Help me, I'm going to preach before I get through here this morning. Amen. We've got to have more than just a form. We've got to have more than a ritual. We've got to have more than just standards. We've got to have more. Amen. We've got to have an experience with God, that God has touched our hearts. Amen. Help me here. Amen. And when you change churches, if you don't have an absolute experience with God yourself, and if you change preachers, amen, come on here. If you change preachers or you change churches, your convictions will change because it's not in your heart to start with. Amen. This thing has got to be more than a cultural thing. It's got to be more, amen, than just the standards. It's got to be a relationship with a personal relationship with God. Amen. That you get on your knees. Amen. Whether it's at home in the bedroom or out at the wood pile or down in, come on here, in the cow barn or, amen, or stump in the woods somewhere. You've got to have a personal relationship with God that has been wrung in your heart, and you're only interested in keeping that powerhouse connection with the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And without prayer power, we lose our reason for being here to start with. Amen. And we become powerless. and just a culture. Amen. If you're looking for culture, amen, you might as well go to the Mennonites and the Amish people. I mean, they've got the culture. Amen. But they have no power in their life. And the holiness people is gradually drifting that way. Amen. Without an anointing, without an unction. I said this this past week in Richmond, Indiana. Amen. Some folks understood it and said, and some didn't. But it's okay. Amen. Maybe they'll get it after a while. They think about it. Amen. We have a generation that there is a fine line between charisma and intellectualism and the unction and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And not many people can tell the difference because they have no prayer life of their own. Come on here. Amen. There are preachers that can intellectually, I mean, they've got the ability. They've got the knowledge. And not only do they have the intellect, amen, they have a charisma. They have the ability to sway people, amen, into their train of thought. And as a result, amen, come on, y'all stay with me. Amen, we lean to them. Ah, but I want to tell you, amen, there is a fine line there that separates that intellectual, amen. It's like when some preachers get through preaching, it's like punching the stop button on a tape recorder. It's over. It's done. Amen. You leave the church and before you get out of the parking lot, you forgot what he said. Amen. Help me here. Amen. Preachers were sent out by D.L. Moody one time many years ago. Amen. And when they came back, he said to them, did you make anybody happy? They said, well, no. Not that we can remember. I don't think we got anybody just overexcited. He said, did you make anybody sad? And they said, well, can't remember that nobody got sad. Said, did you make anybody mad? Well, no, I don't think so. Not anybody running us out of town. He said, pack your bags and go home. You're not called to preach. Help me here. Amen. That's almost where we are in our American culture right now. We fit in with the crowd. Amen. Amen. God, help me. I know. I'm an old-time holiness preacher. I belong to the last generation. I'm out of step with the new neo-Pentecostals. I know that. I understand that. But amen. I'm still a holiness preacher. Praise God. I've been preaching holiness ever since I've been here. I'm still preaching holiness, and I'll be preaching holiness next year if I'm still here. Praise God. Somebody say amen. Oh, I want to tell you, it's right. Holiness is right. Standards is right. Amen. But those standards and holiness has got to be the result of an inward experience with God. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Now, woo! I'm feeling better right now. I've got friends. Amen. I've got preacher friends. Help me here. They do things. They act a little different than I do. Amen. Help me here. Amen. Brother Don Rich has been here many times and preached. I could name you a dozen preachers right offhand that does not wear neckties. Come on here. Don't y'all fall out with me here this morning. Does not wear neckties. Amen. They're my friends. They preach for me right here. Good men, godly men. But I want to tell you, that doesn't mean I had to pull mine off, because that's what God dealt with them in their hearts, in prayer and commitment. Amen. Amen. The Bible never said, thou shalt not wear a necktie. Help me here. I think somebody got up and left. Bible does not say thou shalt not wear a necktie. But you see, God dealt with those brethren. amen, in committed prayer and dedication of their heart and life and soul. Amen. And for them now to go back and start wearing neckties would be a violation of the principles that God dealt with them about. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Dear Brother Vince Wilson, some of you older folks will remember Brother Vince Wilson. He is as good man, as godly man as you'll ever meet in your life. Amen. And when he was a young man, young preacher, he made a vow that he'd never eat ice cream. Amen. He found out later in life that there was nothing wrong with eating ice cream. But he had made a vow. Come on here. And he lived by that vow till he died. Amen. Oh, God, we have people that change so often. Amen. They make promises. They make vows. Do you know it's better not to make a vow? Amen. Than to make a vow and not keep it? Amen. Hey, we have people now that make promises to God, make vows to the Lord. God, if you'll do this and this, and I'll do this and this. Amen. God does His part. They never fulfill their side of the responsibility, obligation. Amen. And as a result, through the process of time, amen, they've lost the joy and the blessing of God because they did not keep a vow. Hallelujah. Amen. If you make a vow, keep it. I said, if you make a vow, keep it. So without prayer power, we lose our reason for being different. We lose our reason for living holiness. We lose our reason for living righteousness. We lose our reason for even being separate from the world. Amen. Just I hear young preachers, and I say to my heart and soul, they are telling me they've never had a personal experience with God. Are y'all still with me? Amen. I hear young preachers making foolish statements that if you can't find it in the Bible, amen, then you ought not to say anything about it. Amen. I want to tell you, there are principles in the Bible that is laid down. Amen. Tobacco is not mentioned in the Bible. But I want to tell you, it's wrong. I said, it is wrong. Help me here. Somebody said, well, what did God make tobacco for if it wasn't for our consumption? Amen. You ever seen a tobacco worm? He can spit tobacco juice further than any man you ever seen. Amen. God made things for something and for some reason. But I want to tell you, it was not for man's consumption. Amen. 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 Oh, Lord, help me. Amen. I heard a woman say one time, stupid woman, excuse me, excuse that vernacular. I don't mean that too sarcastically, just a little. Amen. She said, amen, God made her body, amen, for men. How stupid can you get? God is opposed, amen, to sinful, wicked, amen, living. Are y'all still here? Amen. Oh, the sex sins of our generation is running wild. Amen. And there are people that have no concept between right and wrong, between what's godly and what's ungodly. Amen. They have no idea what God requires of them. They have no. They are in the church, believe it or not. They sit in the church pew and they sing Amazing Grace when everybody else sings Amazing Grace. But they have no personal relationship with God. Amen. They just go to church. They're a church member. And they live fairly decent lives. Amen. But they are immoral in their heart. I want to tell you, the heart is deceitful. Huh? The heart is deceitful. and desperately wicked. And who can know it? I didn't talk to this man, but I talked to the man who did talk to this man. Amen. And it's unbelievable to me how warped and twisted this generation has become in their thinking. Amen. There's a man that's a member of the mafia. And this dear brother and a friend of mine that talked to him about church and God, he said, oh, he said, I'm saved. Member of the mafia. Said, I'm saved. He makes his living killing people. And for everybody that he is hired to kill, he makes so much money. Amen. And this friend of mine said, how? How can you kill somebody in cold-blooded murder? Shoot them with bullet holes? Amen. Or cut their throat? How can you kill them? Amen. And still claim to be a Christian? Amen. He said, oh, that's no problem to me. He said, I pray over every one of them before I kill them. How warped is our generation now? Amen. We have a generation of people that has no concept of what's right and what's wrong. And we have reached the point because, am I doing all right here today? We have reached the point because we have no inward relationship with God. We think that holiness, amen, and holiness preaching is taboo and should not even be mentioned, amen, because it's not worth anything. And the reason it's not worth anything is because you have no, amen, relationship, spiritual relationship in prayer to God. Hallelujah. We have come to a generation in American culture right now that has no conscience. They have seared their conscience with a hot iron. They feel like, help me here, they feel like just because they go to church occasionally, amen, and they say table grace, and they say a good night prayer, that they don't have to quit sinning. They don't have to quit in any of their rottenness and the filthiness of the flesh. They don't have to change their lifestyle. Amen. But I want to tell you, sin is still sin. I said sin is still sin. If it was sin 30 years ago, it's still a sin. Help me here. I'm on a... brother... I haven't even got past my introduction here this morning. Praise God. There are several things I want us to notice about this church at Ephesus. Amen. Without this church giving us an example, when we read them, amen, Jesus said, I know thy works. I know your labor. I know thy patience. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. Hast found them to be liars. And hast borne. And hast patience. And for not my name's sake hast labored. And hast not fainted. Amen. He gives them 10 points of commendations. Amen. Verses 2 through 6. He tells them. Of all the good things that they are that they've got, their good qualities. Amen. I mean, this was a good, up-to-date holiness church. But he said, "I've got somewhat against you. Just one point." Amen. This one thing will keep them out of this pearly gates. One. Help me here. Here we are. Amen. When I look at these verses. Amen. Verse 5 tells us that they had left. Verse 4 tells us they had left their first love. Amen. Verse 5 tells us how they did it. What happened? From whence thou art fallen. You mean to tell me, living a holy life like I'm living, and I have fallen out of grace with God? That's what he said. Now, Brother Savage, you mean if I do so many good deeds, amen, and I've got all these good characteristics, and I've got all these favorable things, and all these good things that I do for people and for the church, and yet I lack in one area of my life? You mean to tell me I'm not going to make it? He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. But Brother Savage, I've got so many good qualities. I've done so many good deeds. Help me here. I want to tell you something this morning. We're going to read out of Proverbs here in just a minute. Amen. But I want to tell you, we have a generation that does not understand that sin will send you to hell. Sin will send your soul to hell. Whether it's one sin or a whole catalog. Amen. Sin will send your soul to hell. Amen. He's writing to this church. He says, I know all your good qualities. I know your good works. I know your labor. I know everything about you. Amen. We have people in the American Pentecostal churches. Amen. That living illicit, sinful, wicked, immoral life, and they still think they're okay with God. And I want to tell you, amen, I'm probably, maybe I'm meddling this morning, rambling too, but I want to tell you, my heart is moved. Because we have a generation that does not understand that sin is displeasing to God. Somebody said, well, Brother Savage, I prayed through, amen, a while back. But I want to tell you, if after you prayed, your life is not changed, and that relationship with God is not kept, amen, on a daily basis, amen, you will be lost. Just as much as the man that goes out and drinks a bottle of liquor. Got one thing wrong with you. They were commanded to repent and do their first works over, to be restored to God and to their first love. Amen. Amen. Now I want to tell you, this is a community thing. Somebody said, well, it's just me. It's not just you. You have an influence on somebody else. It's not just you. You have an absolute influence on somebody else. Amen. And if you can do this and live this way, amen, and profess to be saved, come on here, and profess to go to heaven when you die, amen, your influence living that way, amen, is going to have an effect on somebody else that's going to look at your life and follow your influence. Help me here. I got a lot of things on my heart this morning. We cannot afford to get more lax in our conduct and behavior in these last days. What you do is going to affect somebody else. Do you think for one minute that the major Pentecostal denominations, amen, through the process of years, when I grew up, amen, they preached then just like I'm preaching right now. They really did. They lived it. They practiced it. They had an influence. But it was a process of gradual decline in their churches, It didn't just happen in 24 hours. It's a gradual decline. I was raised up to live, amen, like godly people are to live. Y'all still with me? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. If every church in this church was just like me, what kind of a church would this church be? That used to be a motto, amen, that churches had on the walls in their church building, amen, or in your home or on the bulletin board. If every member in this church was just like me, what kind of a church would this church be? You have an influence on somebody else. If you get crossways with a pastor, somebody else is going to, amen, follow your example, and they're going to get crossways. If you, amen, live in a sinful and wicked life and still claim to go to heaven, somebody else is going to do the same thing. Amen. If you smoke cigarettes and say you're saved and you're going to heaven when you die, somebody else is going to look at your life and say, if they do it and go to heaven, I can too. If you look at pornography, come on, I'm going to preach to you this morning. If you watch pornography and pornography movies, amen, and you go down and rent them filthy things and bring them to your house, somebody said, well, I don't go to the movies. Amen. You may not go to the theater building, but if you rent them and bring them to your house, amen, you have destroyed the principle of righteousness and godliness. Listen to me. Amen. Righteousness is taken from the root word of righteous. The root word of righteous is right. Just simply doing what's right. That is your relationship with man. Holiness is vertical. Holiness is your relationship with God. Holiness is not just long sleeves and a high neck and long hair on the women. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Holiness is more, amen, than just an appearance and a dress code. Holiness is a relationship with God. And without that relationship with God, right doing, amen, ceases to be important. And you see no need to living a life of holiness after a while because you don't have that holiness connection with God in your heart. Amen. You have an influence. Amen. These past organizations, great organizations at one time, our denominations, amen. It did not happen just overnight. Amen. It was a gradual decline. And this one, come on here, this one started living this way. Amen. And somebody over here said, if they can do it, I can too. Hallelujah. And so they start living that way. And the first thing you know, the whole church has gone that way. Somebody said, I never believed it. I wouldn't either. Amen. Except the fact that I've seen it happen. Amen. Younger preachers coming along is going to fulfill the pulpits of our older men and myself as well in years to come. And some of the younger men that's coming on behind us, amen, does not have that same holiness relationship with God. And they see no sense of keeping a holiness standard. Amen. And are y'all still with me? And they are as much proclaiming so. And as a result, amen, because they took that position, another preacher over here, young man, says, that sounds pretty good to me. And so they take that position. Amen. Before long, amen, the entire ministry is corrupted. Amen. And gone the way of sin in the world. And there's no power left. Amen. So we have to, come on, somebody say amen. We have to invent our own, how can I say this? Our own value system. If you can sing like a mockingbird, or you can play a musical instrument, or if you can speak in charismatic ways, amen, praise God, we're just glad to have you here in the house of God. Come on, sing. Come on, play. Amen. Come on, testify. Amen. But you've never had a personal relationship with God. Amen. And as a result, our whole system's going haywire. Amen. And we're going in a worldly trend. Amen. Because we see no
need, amen, of living like their previous generation. Amen, 10 points. You've got some of the best qualities. Amen, but you got one thing that's wrong. You do not have the love of God in your heart. You do not have the love for God in your heart. You do not have the love for your brethren in your heart. Amen, and God said if you don't repent and get it right and get it fixed, everything that you've got good in your, amen, category, amen, of good things and good characteristics is going to be weighed off the balances. Amen, this one thing's going to send you into eternity. And God said, I'll withdraw the candlestick from you. Now, I want to be careful here. I want to be very careful. I'm getting ready to close. About another 2 hours. Within another 2 hours, somewhere. Adultery is wrong and is a sin. Pornography is wrong and is a sin. Drug addicts is wrong and is a sin. Homosexuality is wrong and is sin. And yet we have a generation in our American culture right now that believes that they can indulge in such activities and still die and go to heaven. Now, news has come this week, saddened my heart. And I'm not going to tell you, it's none of your business. Amen. Broke my heart. Having an affair for 9 years. Nobody knew it. Nobody. But I want to tell you, you're not going to live that way, but so long. And God's going to pull the cover off. Thought it was hid, covered up, nobody knew. But one day, God, wasn't no man, God reached down and pulled the cover off and exposed it. Help me here. I know preachers that's gone that way. Ah, amen. In the southern part of our United States, a preacher that has preached camp meetings. Come on here. Amen. Preach camp meetings. Amen. That went bad. Ah, preached a camp meeting. Amen. Just a few days or a week or two at the most before he ran off with a woman in his church where he pastored. But the truth of the matter is, he was wrong a long time before he run off. The heart. And God just reached down and pulled the collar off. Do you believe that? Say amen. Read, Brother Silas, verses 13 and 14. Uh-huh. Now, wait a minute. Whosoever covereth his sin, hides it, shall not prosper. Help me here. Y'all stay with me as long as you can this morning. This is pastor talking. I've been gone a week. Praise God, y'all gonna have to put up with it today. Hallelujah. He that covereth. Did you know that's exactly what Adam tried to do in the Garden of Eden? He covered his sin.
thought nobody would know and God wouldn't know. Amen. What was it? The Bible said, he that formed the eye, can he not see? He that made the ear, can he not hear? People live their life as though God is dumb, and God is blind, and God is deaf. Amen. God don't know, but God knows. What's done in secret is going to be yelled from the rooftops one of these days. God's going to pull the cover off. Help me. I'm going to preach to you this morning. Amen. Help me here. He that covereth, tries to hide it, tries to keep it a secret or a sin. Help me here. Oh, God. Amen. 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 When some people fall, amen, somebody says, keep it quiet. Don't tell it. I understand that mentality. I really do. Amen. Because David said concerning Saul, when Saul got killed, amen, David said, publish it not in Gath. Don't tell it over the under among the sons of Anak in the land of the giants and the Philistines. Amen. Amen. You don't need to tell it over there. But I want to tell you, amen, there are some things that you can only keep hid so long. Amen. And if repentance isn't made, sincere repentance from the heart, amen, God's going to say, pull it off. Amen. I've had enough of it. Amen. You've hid it long enough. Amen. Come on, come on, come on. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Amen. I know people that stole money from the church. Amen. And took it for years and years, and nobody knew, and nobody had any idea. Amen. That they was taking money. Amen. Away from the church. Sometime they were stealing it out of their offering plate. Well, they was taking the offering up from the congregation. Amen. And after a while, God said, it's enough. I said, it's enough. And God revealed it and exposed it for what it was. I want to tell you, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Amen. You're not going to get away with it. You might think you are. And nobody knows, but God knows. And God's going to say, it's enough. Help me here. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but that's a word we don't like. That's a word we just can't deal with. Amen. Confessing. And Brother Savage, look out now. Amen. I'd feel all right about it if I didn't have to confess it. I'm guilty. Hello. Amen. There are some people that has been caught in the iniquity of their sin, and they said, I'm wrong. I confess it. But they only confessed it because they got caught. And if they'd have never got caught, they'd have continued in their sinful, wicked ways. They never confess it. Help me here. Y'all stay with me here as long as you can this morning. But he that, whoso, that means whosoever, whoso confesseth and forsaketh, you got to quit it. You got to quit it. I'm going to tell you, I don't know how to say it in a good way. But there are some sins that people do that only needs to be confessed to God. only need to be confessed to God. And you can fix it by confessing it to God. But after it's continued so long, and you rise to a place of influence in the church, it's going to have to take more than just confessing to God. You have brought a disgrace on the body of Christ. You brought a reproach on the church. But nobody knows, Brother Savage. Who are you trying to fool? You're only fooling yourself. Somebody knows. And at some point in time, somebody's going to tell it. And if you are in a place of responsibility, man, Brother Savage, amen, you're awful tight on us today. I understand. Amen. I do. I know what I'm doing here. I know what I'm saying. Amen. God dealt with my heart this week while I was gone. Amen. When you rise to a place of position and responsibility and influence in the church, amen, and you brought disgrace on the name of Christ, amen, and brought, are y'all still with me? And sin in your heart, amen, in your life, and you think that it's all covered up and I don't have to confess it. Amen. But I want to tell you, God's going to pull the cover off one day. Man, man, man. Help me here. I don't know. I want to try to deal with this as carefully as I can this morning. We have a generation of homosexuals and lesbians that we've never had to deal with in the church world before. Never had to deal with such a problem. But it's in the church. It's in the church world. Mamas and daddies, you listen to me. I know you think Brother Savage is crazy and way out in right field. I'd rather be in right field than left field. Mama and daddy, you listen to me. You be careful. You be careful who your children go home to spend the night with. Help me here now. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to people. Somebody said, Brother Sapp, you're talking to church people. I understand. But I've pastored long enough to know that there's problems in people's lives that, amen, it's covered up and they've kept it covered up and secret in their heart, and that's a locked closet that they don't want God or the preacher or nobody else to open that door. Amen. It's a skeleton in there. Amen. That is hiding, that has never been exposed and never been dealt with. Amen. Come on here. Amen. And they want to shout and they want to rejoice and they want to take part in the church when their heart is still full of dead men's bones. I don't know how to say this. I really don't. In a good way. Amen. Brother Silas has got some wonderful boys and a darling little girl. But he's going to have to be careful who comes home with these boys and spends a night with them. Help me here. There was a time that nothing would have ever been thought about such things in life. There was a time, come on here, when I was growing up as a boy, Owen, we had spent all night with people in the church, and there was nothing ever said or even wrong or out of the way. Come on here, I'm preaching to you. Amen. But nowadays, it's a different world out there. The devil is on the loose. There is a... I'm trying to be very tactful and tasteful this morning. There is a devil of lust that is saturated our generation that we've never had to deal with in the church world before. Somebody say amen. Amen. There are, oh God, help me. Amen. And there are, amen, there are confirmed homosexuals that you can, help me, I'm going to preach to y'all this morning. Ah, this Brother Savage is all stirred up. You're right, I am. Amen. There are confirmed homosexuals, amen, that is vile and wicked in their imaginations, in their minds, and you can know them. There's a spirit about them. Amen. Come on here. They're limp-wristed. Amen. Come on here. They mince when they walk. It's what the Bible said. Amen. They have feminine characteristics. Am I preaching to you all right? And you have got enough sense to know, stay away from them. Stay away from them. Leave them alone. Don't even go close to them. But I want to tell you, it's a different world out there now. Amen. We have in our society right now what is called bisexuals. Amen. They may be married. They may even have a family. But they will seduce others of the same sex and enjoy their sexual relation with one of the same sex as much as they do their spouse. Amen. Are y'all still listening to me? And that is such a dangerous, amen, condition that exists in our church world. It may be a man that's masculine and outgoing and outdoorsy, amen, but his heart is corrupt. His heart is full of, amen, sin and wickedness and blackness. Amen. Come on here. It may be a woman, amen, that she may be very feminine and have children and a husband. And I can show you cases today, amen, where women left their husbands and run off with another woman, amen, that you never thought would have, amen, because it is a spirit of the age. Amen. God help us, but sooner or later, God's going to say it's enough. I feel the Holy Ghost here. There are men. Help me here. There are men. Amen. That are married. Am I preaching all right this morning? There are men that are married. Amen. And have children. And in some cases, grandchildren. Amen. In their minds is full of wickedness. And they look at a woman and they disrobe her in their minds. And that's the reason Jesus said, he that looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Come on here. Am I preaching all right this morning? Hey, amen. Somebody said, but Brother Savage, I go to church. Hey, amen. I sing Amazing Grace. I play music. Ah, but God says, shoo. And somebody standing by said, dear God, I never dreamed of it. God said, it's enough. I know, I know. Oh, help me, Lord. Are y'all still with me? Help me right here. I'm trying to get us to understand about the reality of life. And things are not as they once were. And we have to be on guard. And we have to be aware of the condition. Amen. We have never had. I'm a pastor. I've been pastoring this church for 29 years. Amen. I was preaching holiness when I come here. Amen. And I was preaching holiness when you come. Amen. When I leave, I'll be preaching holiness. And when you leave, I'll still be preaching holiness. Come on here. Amen. But, oh, God, help me. Amen. I have seen so much in my time that it scares me. Amen. Right now we have such a worldly minded congregation that it would not take much, amen, to turn the scales. Amen. And this church go worldly. And this church that has always been a holiness church, amen, even way before I ever come here, amen, could go in a heartbeat. Amen. Because sin has not been dealt with. It's in the heart of man. Help me here. You may not visit the internet and the pornography that's on the internet. You may not rent the, amen, wicked movies and bring into your house on your VCR or DVD players. Come on here. Now, I hope to God you don't. If you do, I hope to God you get saved and pray through. Amen. I lost you right there. You may not do any of those things. I'll never forget what Brother Jim Powers told me many, many years ago, and Brother Jim's been dead for years. Amen. He said, I do not have to have a DVD or a VCR or a movie if my heart is wicked and my heart is sinful. I've got a brain up there that any time I want to, if that's what I'm after, I can recall things that I saw and heard before I was ever saved, and nobody knows. Wow. Wow. Man, man, Brother Savage, you're all... I want to tell you. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in, but he that doeth the will of my Father. We confess Jesus Christ with our life, but our character does not match our confession. Somebody say amen. Are y'all still here? Amen. Read that verse again, brother. Amen. Read the next verse. Wow. The man who will not acknowledge and confess his sin, and who seeks to hide them, and then to excuse himself or herself, will never be right with God. Brother Savage. Brother Savage. Oh, Brother Savage. Amen. It's awful tough. Some years ago now, I talked with a man confidentially. And he said, Brother Savage, amen. I've been a hypocrite for 10 years. But it's weighed so heavy on my heart that I had to tell somebody. You know, amen, you will go stark raving mad if you don't get that weight off of your heart. Are y'all still with me? Say, girls, you young ladies, you precious, precious, virtuous young girls, you keep yourself. You keep yourself. There's a devil out there. And if he can't get you, am I preaching all right this morning? If he can't get you, amen, to fall into sin with some boy, he'll get you to fall into sin with some girl. And you have to keep your guard up. Say, young men, we got some good young men. Thank God. We got some good young people. We really do. When you go look at some others, amen, and you come back home and say, boy, we got some good young people. But I want to tell you, you have to keep your guard up. You have to watch out. Amen. I said, amen. Because if the devil can't get you seduced by a little flippant, cute, winking, beautiful doll, he'll get you with some dude that is a sex pervert. Am I preaching all right? Mamas and daddies, we have to set a double guard these days over our children. And it's not all young people. There's some old men that's got dirty, filthy minds. Wow. Brother Savage. Yes, sir. There's some old men that is perverted. Amen. That would just delight in seducing either a girl or a boy. And it wouldn't matter to them as long as their flesh, amen, and carnality is satisfied. Amen. They're out there with one objective, and that is to satisfy, amen, the carnality and the filthiness of the flesh. Mamas and dads, are y'all still with me? Set a double guard. Watch your children. Amen. Watch your children. Somebody said, well, they are of age. If they're living in your house, watch your children. I lost you on that shuffle. Help me here. Somebody say amen. Somebody said they're beyond my control. I understand when they are y'all still with me? When they get of age and move out of your house, amen, help me. I'm in trouble this morning. I know I am. Amen. Somebody said, I don't believe it like that. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything. Amen. If they're in your house, amen, they don't smoke tobacco in your house. They don't drink liquor in your house. They don't watch illicit movies in your house. Amen. They don't bring filthy stuff in your house. They don't bring filthy Playboy magazines in your house. You are responsible to God, and you've got to set the parameters. You've got to set the boundaries. You've got to set, amen, the conditions of how your house is going to live. And you don't have to be mean-spirited to do that. You don't have to be ugly and nasty. Amen. Hard. Amen. Hearted and harsh in your attitude. You just set the boundaries and say, this is the way it is here. Amen. And I'm watching out for your soul. I'm watching out for your life. Amen. Your character means more to me, amen, than any pleasure of this world. Come on here. And that's the way I feel about pastoring this church. Somebody say amen here. Ah, amen. It would be easy, and the devil tempts me like he does every other pastor. Let up a little bit. Amen. You're too straight. Amen. You'd get more people to come to church. Amen. Just be a little easier on things. Amen. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost says, you're going to have to answer to me in the day of judgment. Amen. How you lead the flock. Amen. And all of a sudden I'm concerned about your character. I'm concerned about your life. I'm concerned about the way you live. Amen. I want to get you to heaven, whatever the cost. Amen. I understand there's other churches that you can go and live any way you want to. Amen. Come on here. Sing in the choir. Play music. Amen. Shout and testify. Amen. I still have the pleasures of sin in the world. But I'm going to answer to God. Amen. And if I'm going to have to stand before God Almighty and answer to Him, amen, I must say, children, we're not going to do it that way here. Amen. You husbands and fathers are responsible, amen, for your home and your house. And I, as the pastor, am responsible for the congregation. Amen. And your blood's going to be on my hands. Hey, great God, help me here. Amen. And I want somebody to say, when we stand before God on the eternal judgment day, that if you'd have told me the truth, I wouldn't be lost. We've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost, not just in our church service, but in your daily life. You've got to have, keep that experience updated. Hey, man, not just once a week on Sunday. Hey, man, you've got to have a prayer meeting, sir. You've got to have a prayer meeting, sister. You've got to have a prayer meeting, lady. Amen. At home. Come on here. You've got to have a relationship with God. Amen. That'll keep you from the hour of temptation. Sweet Holy Ghost. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Yea, for the Spirit doth say, except thou repent, you shall also likewise perish. For the Lord has spoken to you this day, saith God, and I, the Lord, will try the reins of your heart. Yea, and I, the Lord, that seeth the secrets of the heart. Yea, I, the Lord, shall expose all the secrets of men's hearts. Yea, fix it, saith God. Repent and confess it, saith God. And the Lord shall have mercy, and it shall be well with thee. But if thou shalt not repent, and if thou shalt not confess, and yea, your heart is hardened, yea, I, the Lord, will remove your candlestick, saith the Lord. We need to pray. We need to pray this morning. Don't be surprised, saints of God. I want you to come on and be praying, getting ready to pray. Don't be surprised when God starts uncovering things that's in people's lives in the very near future.